Shall we open our hymn sheets to number 18? God loved the world of... Beg your pardon, it's number 7. Number 7, please. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Love brings the glorious fullness in, and to the lost makes known salvation from the power of sin through faith in Christ alone. We'll sing only 2 stanzas and the chorus.
God loved the world of sin.
Sing another. Number 25, only 2 stanzas and the choruses.
Life at best is very brief.
Yeah.
Three verses are before me tonight. Let's turn, first of all, to your first verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Of course, Genesis 1:1 appears much earlier, but likely this is the first verse in the Bible to you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now also, another 3:16, 1 Timothy, we shall read, First Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And still another 3:16 in 1 John. John's first epistle, chapter 3, and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now turning back to our first verse, John 3:16. A young brother remarked this morning, if he had to choose among the Gospels, this would be his preference, the Gospel of John. And likely, if we should choose a chapter, the other chapters not being possible to obtain, we might select this one, John's Gospel, chapter 3. It brings to us that message of God's love to this world. For God so loved. You know, the gospel originated in heaven. It's the gospel of God. It comes from above. It comes down to you here tonight. The Lord Jesus brought the message when he was here. And he has left others to deliver the message in his absence. And this is the word of God that is being sounded in your ears here tonight. God. Just think of who he is and where he is. Above this world, beyond the sky, beyond the stars, there in heaven itself, God that no man has ever seen. But he has a message for you and me. He has spoken, you know, in various ways, in other times. But he's spoken unto us by his Son. The Lord Jesus has been here in this world of ours. He's been right here, in this scene, this very world of ours that we're acquainted with. He walked on the face of this globe. He was here, God manifest in the flesh. God is the one to whom you are responsible as a sinner. We're responsible to God because we're his creatures. He made us. He gave us being. And we're responsible to him because we have our sins to account for. God cannot countenance sin. He must deal with it. And we know the history of man, how the sin has come into this world and brought havoc and ruin upon us. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we read here, for God so loved. Now, we'll make it very simple, if we may, for the children. Sometimes you write, you know, and you use very small letters. But you can never write this word large enough. For God so loved. You could print it. You could make boxcar letters. Or you could make tall letters. The height of this building. Or you could get the man that writes in the sky to go up in his plane and write this verse up there, and he could never make this word large enough. Oh, we're not able to tell the greatness and the fullness of God's love. If the ocean were ink, and we could write on the sky, we'd never be able to write out the fullness of this story of God's love to man. For God so loved the world. And oh, think of what a world this is. A sinful world. A rebellious world. A God-hating world. A man that has despised his Maker. This is the kind of men we are. This is the kind of world that we're in. A world that rejected Christ. Nevertheless, God loved this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Attention has been called to the fact that the middle word in this verse is S-O-N. There are 12 words before. And 12 words after. The central word, the center of this verse, is God's Son, by whom he has spoken unto this world, and speaks to you tonight. For God so loved the world. An old brother on the city square in Cleveland remarked one day that God loved us when there was nothing in us to love. He loved us just the same. We love others when they are agreeable to us. That's the natural order of things. But God loved us when there was nothing in us to love. And he sent his Son into this world to reveal himself to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the first part of the verse. God loving and giving. And then we come to the other part of the verse. And here we have man receiving everlasting life by simple faith in Christ. Man believing and receiving that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone has brought to our attention on another occasion that perhaps we can see in this verse something of the height of God's love, the source of it, coming from above. For there's nothing like it in this world. Oh, there's nothing that equals the story of God's grace to man. And we see in what the Lord Jesus did in going to that cross something of the depth of God's love. Told out at Calvary's cross, where he tasted death for everything, where he suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God, where he poured out his soul and was brought into the dust of death. Oh, we read something of his sufferings in that wonderful psalm, the 22nd. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Those were Jewish leaders, religious men, men of weight in this world. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is melted in the midst of my bowels, like wax. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. The Gentile leaders, men of power. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, they cast lots upon my vesture. All such was the feelings, the sufferings of that blessed man of God, lifted up on Calvary's cross. He was given to go there and be lifted up as the Son of Man, as we had in the verse before. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then our key verse, that wonderful little verse, that gem, a Bible in itself, telling us of God's love and his provision for us, what he's done. And how in simple faith the sinner can believe and receive everlasting life. Oh, we see something of the breadth of that love in that wonderful word, whosoever. This applies to all this world. This applies to the whole human race. God's love has been manifested to everyone. The grace of God that carries along salvation with it hath appeared unto all men. That carries salvation for all men hath appeared. And then we see something of the length of God's love too, indicated in this verse that it's everlasting. It reaches on and on into the eternal future. Why not accept this verse tonight? Why not stand on John 3:16? God has provided a Savior for you. He's given His Son. Could He give more? He's given His only begotten Son. There's not another to give. You need no other. He's the only Savior. And He'll save you tonight, just as you are, and right where you are, if you'll respond to His Word and own yourself the sinner that Jesus died for, that He came to save. Oh, there's salvation for every individual present here tonight, and there's salvation for everyone, wherever they're found, if they'll only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not perish. Sometimes, you know, we simplify and look at that word perish, or think of it as you hear it. And what does it mean? We can make a sentence even out of that. To perish is to pass eternally ruined into Satan's hell. And that's an awful destiny. It doesn't belong to you. God doesn't want you to go into Satan's hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God wants you to be saved for a companion of Christ. He wants many sons brought unto glory. He wants you to be brought into blessing, eternal blessing. through faith in Christ, who made it possible for you through his sacrifice at Calvary's cross. Now we'll turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The Lord Jesus was down here in this world. There was never one like him. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. He spake as one that had authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. At the age of 12, he was sitting among the doctors asking them questions. And they wondered at his learning at that time. And those that came to take him one day had to say, "Never man spake like this man." And Pilate was made to confess 3 times, "I find no fault in him." Oh, there's not one like the Lord Jesus. And it must be so, because he was the Lord from heaven, the Redeemer, the Savior that God sent into this world. And he must be that Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot, in order that his sacrifice might avail for sinful men. Oh, there was never one like him. And he was down here, and men marveled at that. They were astounded. They didn't understand. He was different, and he must be so. And this was necessary in order for you to have a Savior tonight. And he's being offered here tonight without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh. God has been down here in this world in the person of his Son. We can read this, you know, from John's Gospel, chapter 1. As we look back to it, manifested in the flesh. And this verse comes to mind, if you will consider it. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God was manifested in the flesh, and we see the same truth presented in John's epistle, first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. God was manifested in the flesh. He was here in the person of the Son, revealing the Father that we might know God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh, justified in the Spirit. We read one day, we read in Luke that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after those temptations that were so subtle, we find that Blessed One returning in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Oh, there was was nothing diminished. He was justified in the Spirit. And so we have in Romans a verse that tells of that blessed one. And this was mentioned in the prayers tonight. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. There was never one word, one thought, or one deed in the life of that blessed one that needed correction. The Spirit of God sanctioned that life of Christ. It was perfect. And therefore, he could be a sacrifice that was suitable and acceptable to God at Calvary's cross. Oh, he's the Savior that you need tonight. He's the Savior that we have needed ourselves, we who believe. And he's the only Savior of sinners. And he has been here in this world for that purpose, that he might save us and deliver us from the power of sin. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels. He was seen of angels at his birth. He was seen of angels at his resurrection. God's Son, become man, down here in this world, the object of the gaze of that heavenly host, who were so delighted that they went into ecstasy at the time of his entrance into this world. Manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. And aren't we glad? Preached not only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but preached unto the Gentiles, not to the Jews merely, not to that favored people of God's, not to that people or that nation by whom he came as concerning the flesh of the seed of David, but he was preached unto the Gentiles. We have it in Acts 10. It's on record that Peter went to the house of Cornelius and he opened his mouth preaching that God was no respecter of persons. He brought before them the facts of the life and death and resurrection of Christ and summed it up. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That was the blessing that was realized there that night. He had come to tell Cornelius words whereby he would be saved. And we have those same words tonight, recorded here in this book for you, that there's salvation through faith in Christ, and there's remission of sins for you. Your sins can be forgiven, washed away, completely removed, and never to be recalled against you anymore. Preached unto the Gentiles, and we see it in Acts 16 too. Or we find there, Paul had gotten into jail in Philippi, and he and Silas were singing praises in the prison. Midnight, a mighty earthquake shook that prison, and the inmates were freed of their chains. And better than that, souls were freed from their sins. The worst chains of all are our sins. Our sins, you know, are strong. They bind us, they hold us, and they will increase. But oh, there's one that can break the power of sin, and why not let him break the power of sin in your life tonight? And this jailer came trembling. Oh, he felt guilty of the way he had mistreated these men of God. He called for a light, he came trembling, and he came saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer was very simple. The answer came in these simple words. The answer came in this wonderful verse, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. How was he saved? He simply believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way Paul was saved. That's the way Peter was saved. And that's the way the Samaritans got saved. And that's the way the Gentiles were saved too. That's the way every sinner has been saved that has ever been saved at all. We've never saved ourselves, we can't. It's through faith in Christ. And this jailer believed, and we see him responding to that message that he received. And his conduct proved that he believed. And what does your conduct prove? Where do you stand before God? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? That they're all washed away in the precious blood of Christ? Have you responded to that blessed one who came into this world to go to that cross for you? It was necessary, for there's no other way. You know, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins, those offerings of old that were made on those altars long ago. But oh, when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, there's never another Calvary to be enacted. It'll never be repeated. It's all sufficient, that sacrifice of Christ. But you need to make use of it. You need to avail yourself of the blessing that comes through simple faith in Christ. We hear the apostle saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, he knew what the gospel had done for him. And he'd seen what the gospel had done for others. And he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And neither should we be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If the record is correct, my ancestors worshipped the God of Thor. Don't you know that there's thanksgiving in my heart to God for the gospel of his grace that has saved a sinner like me? Oh, he came to save sinners. And he saved me. Not by anything that I've done, but by God's grace. He's provided a Savior and sent the message. And through simple belief in Christ, there's eternal life and rest for the soul. And then we see here that he was received up into glory, believed on in the world. This is where you must believe on him. If you believe after you leave here, you will believe too late. Oh, it's time now. You must hear the gospel and believe it now. You must respond to it now. Today is the day of salvation. It's never said tomorrow. Today is the day. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. And that's where he is tonight. And he's the Savior of sinners. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of different individuals and of above 500 brethren at one time. And he was seen of the Apostle Paul also. Christ died. He was buried. He went into the lower part of the earth, into the dust of death. But he arose. He's alive forevermore. The risen Son of God. Oh, you can safely trust in him. He's worthy of your trust. You can depend upon him.
And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be confounded. Oftentimes we're disappointed by men in this world. But never so with this one, because he's worthy and he's certain to bless you if you'll respond. And you know, the fact that we're here tonight is a proof of the resurrection of Christ. God has his people in this world. He has his people here who know Christ. But you know, Christendom, the Christian profession, is coming such a mixed up thing. It's becoming so corrupt that this world is turning against it. And they're saying, away with it. We detest it. We don't want it. Oh, there are many imitations. There's much that goes under the name of Christ that is not Christian at all. But my friend, the fact that you find $20 bills in counterfeit numbers is a proof that there are real $20 bills. And the fact that there are those that are hypocritical or that there are those that are not really Christians doesn't set aside the fact that there are those that are truly the Lord's. And you find them here and there. This word is true. God has his people here. And you ought to be convinced. Yes, the fact that the gospel is being preached and the fact that God's people are together here tonight is an indication of the resurrection of Christ, because without this resurrection we would have no message. Mohammed is dead. And the other prophets are dead. They're dead men. But Christ is risen. The risen Son of God. Alive forevermore. And then we had another verse in 1 John chapter 3. 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. By this we know the love of God. Do you wonder if God loves you? Do you question God's love to you? There are those that question, you know, these awful things that are taking place in this world. But here's proof of God's love. Hereby know we the love of God. How can we tell that God loves us? How do you know that God loves you, a sinner? Because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. And this brings to mind in John's Gospel chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus is speaking as the Good Shepherd. And speaking of his life, he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. No man taketh it from me. Oh, he had power to lay it down. He's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He was different to all the others. None could come along with him. None with him could compare. Evidently, David was somewhat of a good shepherd in his day. And Moses, too. And they likely defended the sheep and looked after God's people in a certain way. And they may have encountered dangers, no doubt they did, in seeking to take care of God's people. But you know, they couldn't lay down their lives for them in the sense that the Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. Because they might be injured. They might even be killed in what they were doing for the sake of the sheep, of the flock, of God's people. But they could not take their lives up again. The Lord Jesus could. He laid it down. And oh, that was a special delight to God's heart. It delighted the Father, because he was going to lay his life down. But oh, that's linked with the truth that he would take it up again. Oh, he's the risen Son of God, the one that has conquered death, who has laid down his life for you. And we know Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now what more could anyone do than that? Oh, some might dare, you know, to experience danger or give their lives for others. But here's the Lord Jesus, and there's nothing like this. And he laid down his life for you. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to be exempt from that coming judgment. He wants you to have the knowledge of your sins forgiven. He wants you to know that your sins are gone. He wants you to know that you're a child of God. He wants you to know that you're saved from hell, and that you're saved for glory, and that there's a bright and blessed future before you. Oh, that's the message. That's the word that he has for you. He laid down his life for us. Perhaps if John 3:16 is for the sinner, and 1 Timothy 3:16 is associated with the truth of the church in some manner, here we have a John 3:16 for the believer. And we'll have to say that we're not as familiar with this John 3:16 as we are with the gospel, John 3:16. Because it goes on to say here, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, we need to drink of that Spirit of Christ. But first we must know him, and then we can follow him. Oh, why not tonight come to that blessed one who died on that cross, lifted up in the Son of Man, that you might have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And hereby perceive we the love of God, because that he laid down his life for us. Oh, what a Savior! And how can you leave this company tonight without trusting in him? Without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who was buried, who rose the third day, and who was seen, and who is living, glorifying a man up there interested in you here tonight, wanting you to be saved, to have everlasting life through simple faith in him. It's free. It was expensive. It was costly. But he paid the price. And he wants you to accept his Son. God offers you salvation. And why not claim it tonight? As we sing the last verse of number 7.
He now by faith I claim.